the McDonald's Mikey Grill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Grill Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another exciting episode of the Viking Roundball Podcast alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings, Mr. Matt Coles. I'm Carl Knox, recording this little ditty, coach, on a sunny, balmy early February Monday morning, February the 6th. You're back in the saddle.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, I took a week off. Show went to pot. You were desperate for guests. I had to throw NJ and Carb on here. And next thing you know, big old goof-off session is what that was. My brother said he got on the show to listen, see how the JV team was doing. And Carb gave him no useful information, simply goofed off.
Shane Coles did not say that. You're making that up. Hey, I mean, first of all, to label last episode as a goof-off session, as opposed to any other episode,
that we're right usually there, so serious.
And you know, I missed you. I tried to defend you, you know, because I'm not one to stir the pot.
No, obviously not.
No, I mean, I had your back the whole time.
It sounded like it. I could tell.
Yeah, but you say goof-off sessions. Our executive producer, DB Bruce Cakes Knox, informed me, because he is a statistical wizard. I guess the ratings were off the charts last week.
Well, the ratings for the XFL were off the charts for a while, too.
True. But, that's a rough crew. That's tough.
I know.
Those guys, they're little but mighty. I mean, right out of the
like
gate.
Secretary, or like, what was that horse? Seabiscuit.
Yeah. They're runners. Yeah. I mean, right out of the gate, Carp's comparing his weight and NJ's weight to equal one of you. And I'm like, he just went someplace. You just don't go.
Just right away.
It's brutal. But I think our subscribers and listeners enjoyed, you know, hearing some things that otherwise they might not know about.
Yes.
You know, so, but anyhow, you're back. I hope better than ever.
Oh, yeah.
16-1 now? Is that?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Been an eventful week. I got a couple games to talk about and got an interesting guest coming up later. Got to review the Jackson game, the win down there, as well as a big road win down at Meg's this past Friday night, February the 3rd. But our guest this week is none other than, I don't want to say new, because he's got it. Well, he's definitely not new. He's one season into his second tenure as the Vinton County football coach. None other than Coach Jeff Downs will be joining us here in the padded room later.
Jeff. I've wanted to have Jeff on this year, and we thought about it earlier in basketball season, but he was sort of just getting out of football, and you know, we had a lot of people to talk to and things to talk about, and just thought it'd be a good time. The football team's back in the weight room now, working pretty hard at it in their off-season program. And I know he'll probably talk a little bit about Coach Linder, who does a lot with the strength and conditioning. And then, they're planning their off-season stuff. And, I think the football program's moving in a good direction. And
Now, correct me. I know Coach Linder, who obviously is our track coach and has been an assistant on the end of the football program. He took last year off as far as being on football staff. Is it correct that he's going to be a part of the football coaching staff this year?
Yeah, the way I understand it, yes, he's going to be a part of it. And, he brings a lot of football experience. And then and anybody that knows John knows with track and everything, he's into the strength and conditioning component.
Big time.
And, so he's doing a lot of that. And I just think it'll be interesting, you know, to get an off-season look at the football team. And because it seems like a long way away, but before you know it, we'll be into the summer, and they'll be
doing 7-on-7s and all that. So. And I think it's also worth noting, and pretty cool, if you ask me, is you know, if people remember right, when Coach Burleson decided to get out of coaching and there was the vacancy last year, Jeff Downs was a candidate. Right. So was Coach Nolan Yates,
right,
who's a former head coach, but he was a candidate,
right,
as was Coach John Linder.
Right.
And quite often at the high school level, you know, if you apply for a head coaching job and you're within the system and you don't get that head position, you either you don't want to be on staff or right, the head coach doesn't want you on staff. So I think it speaks volumes, not just for Coach Downs of being secure enough to have Coach Yates on staff. And now come next year, Coach Leonard, I think it's pretty neat that you can tell there's not a lot of ego there. There's just they want to help kids. They like to coach. And they all get along, and that's
well. Yeah, and I think having people on staff is big. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of good coaches out there who aren't teachers, and we all get that. We all understand that. I think there are a lot of advantages, though, to having teachers on your coaching staff, because you've got people that are around the kids on a daily basis, people who can help with things, organizational things, things like that. And the fact that you look at Coach Downs' staff, and you mentioned John Linder, who's a teacher at the high school,
right,
Nolan Yates is a teacher at the middle school. He's got Greg Olson, who's a teacher at the middle school. You know, so Brian Dunn, who's a teacher at one of the elementary schools. Mm-hmm. Tony Lamb, who's a teacher at the high school. I mean, the list goes on and on. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. But
right,
I know he has Coach Mendez, who's not a teacher. But I think everybody else on his staff, Coach Wall's not a teacher. But I think everybody else on his staff is a teacher.
Right.
And when you have people in the junior high, guess what? You're helping recruit kids and getting them in and all this. And I know we'll talk to Coach Downs about this. I don't want to go on and on. But, right, yeah, it's definitely a big plus.
Okay. Well, let's get to basketball. We'll do our football thing with Coach Downs here later. Good week in the past week. When I say good, good in terms of wins, some things we kind of need to get through. We'll start out with a game last Tuesday night, January the 31st, as you go on down to Jackson to take on the Ironmen. They played you tough up here. But scoring-wise, you kind of opened the floodgates in the second half when we played them earlier. You get out of there with a 56-53 win. That's the good news. Here's the skinny. You had a 33-18 halftime lead, and I don't like to be critical of kids. I didn't make it to the game, but I watched it. I listened to it on the radio, and I'm at halftime, I'm thinking to myself, okay, we got this game in control.
Yeah.
You know, everything. And then I started listening to the second half, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And then I watched the tape, and I don't know, did they take naps at halftime? Did you guys have, like, Thanksgiving dinner? Or I mean, it just seemed like, and I'm not picking on the guys. Well, what? I mean, and you get that. You get right, it some nights, but when they come out and outscore you in the third quarter, 22-5, I mean, it was like, well, I mean, I'm sure you were dumbfounded and a little shocked, but and give Coach Morrow and the Jackson kids credit. They made right, some adjustments, but that third quarter was probably, I'm guessing you'd rather have gotten a root canal than put yourself through that. What happened?
Yeah, it was a rough quarter. I mean, you know, we played about as good a first half as you could play, I felt like, under the circumstances. I mean, we go on the road. You know, Jackson's a pretty solid basketball team. I know it's easy to sit here and think, because of what they've been the last couple of years, you know, you just associate the name with, oh, well, it's Jackson, they're not very good at basketball. Well, that's not really the way it is anymore. I mean, they're a 500 team. They're mm-hmm. it was at home for them. Huge crowd. I think they told me probably one of the biggest crowds they've had there since that gym's been built for a regular season game. And you know, so we've talked about before, you have a bullseye on your back. Everywhere you go is their biggest game of the year, you know, and they kind of treated it that way. And I thought so. But that being said, I thought we played a really good first half. I thought we were solid.
Yeah.
You know, we were sharp. I don't know. A halftime, I sensed, to be honest with you, I sensed a little bit of, I don't know whether it's fatigue or just flat or just not real excited at halftime. And then it just sort of carried over to the third quarter. And then Jackson hit a couple shots. We took a couple bad shots early. They hit a couple shots early, cut it to 10 or whatever. And then you could see their confidence start to go up a little bit. And you could see our kids start to press a little bit. Like, oh, we got to get right, this all back at once. Let's go shoot a three. Let's exactly, go throw one pass and do something. And that, so our offense sort of stalled. And then they started scoring and our defense struggled. And, you know, it was a bad combination. It really snowballed on us. And, you know, it was like then it put us in a dogfight the rest of the game. And I think, obviously, that's a negative that happened, but the positive is that our kids found a way to win that game, because It didn't look good. I mean, right up to a couple minutes left, it did not look like we were going to be able to pull that one out. And we had some kids make some plays and do some things and survived it.
Yeah, when they got it about, I don't know, midway, first part of the fourth quarter, and they actually took a lead of 40, you know, they were up 44-41, and then you guys came back. They were, you know, at the foul line and all that. But it was a game that I think is as athletic, as quick, as talented as we are offensively. One thing that I've noticed, not just in that game, but a lot of times when we kind of get in a funk, for lack of a better word, we lose our patience.
Yeah.
On, you know, it's kind of like we will take shots when we really don't have good looks,
right?
Or we won't make an extra pass, or we'll force things when the numbers aren't there, you know, just things like that. But
well, I think when you're used to, and it's what we talked to our guys about, when you're used to winning by a lot, and that's sort of what happened to us early in the year, where every game sort of ended up being, you know, a decent spread or whatever, and
right.
So now you think that's the norm and that's what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do that, you must be doing something wrong. And it's like I tell our guys, when you get to this point in the season, you just don't see as many blowouts. Teams get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they practice all year long. They get better. Everything starts to equal out a little bit. And then obviously as you get into tournaments, your opponents are better every night, not just every now and then. And you're not going to win games by that margin. You know, you're going to be in close games. If you look at our team last year, when we got into tournaments, you know, every tournament game was a 1-point game, 2-point game, right? And that's the way it is at this point in the year, and you have to be able to win those games. So, you know, I thought finding a way to win was a positive, and then obviously we found ourselves in another one of those types of games on Friday night, too.
Yeah, before we get to that, stats on the Jackson game, you guys shoot 50% from the field, from three-point land, only 28%, 5 of 18 from the charity stripe, not good at all. As a team, you're 11 of 22 for 50%. As far as transition points, you guys had 11 points in transition, 12 off turnovers, 30 points in the paint. You have 27 rebounds to their 26, 15 assists for Vinton County, 6 for Jackson, 11 turnovers for both teams. Scoring for Vinton County, Derek Jones really picks up the slack for Vinton County offensively and puts in a game-high 21 points. Nayland Yates follows with 17 points. Jake Speakman with 4. Tristan Bartow with 7 points. And the big fellow Bryce Dameron with 6 points. As, like we said, you guys hang on and come out of there with a 56-53 win. And then this is kind of, you know, on the road trip deal here, as you guys had to head down to Middleport Pomeroy to take on Coach Ed Fry's Meg's Marauders. I tell you, I went down, made the trip down there, and thought we would go grab a bite to eat and, you know, have plenty of time. Plenty of time. We walk in, I think, in the first part of the third quarter of the freshman game, not the JV game, the freshman game. That place was packed. I mean, to the rafters.
Yeah, there wasn't. I mean, I was standing over there, you know, near our locker room, and some Meg's people came in, and they were like, where am I supposed to sit in this place? You know, they were a little bit surprised.
We had the visitor side completely packed, and there was even some Vinton County, a lot of not big numbers of Vinton County people over on their side, just trying to find a place to sit.
Right.
But man, the Viking Nation is traveling well now.
It's incredible. It's really awesome to see our crowd and the way they come out and support our kids. And it's a lot of fun. I know our kids really enjoy it, and it's funny because, you know, we'll go scout a game or something at one of these gyms,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll think, man, this is sort of dead. And then when we play there, it's not dead, you know, because that combination of all of our fans and then the fact that they get pumped up to play us, you know, and it's that target you're talking about. So, but yeah, but no, it was quite an atmosphere there the other night.
A good atmosphere, two quality teams. I'll tell you what, Meg's is a team that if I had to face them in the tournament, I would be a little concerned. I think that they're a team that, given the right circumstances, they're well coached, they're long, they're athletic, they got some shooters, obviously. But as far as that game, you guys jump out to a 30-25 lead, outscore them 13-11. So you basically pick up another 2 points to extend your lead. And then in the fourth quarter, things are going pretty good. On the foul situation, they had a lot of fouls to give down the stretch, which at one point in time, I think the foul total, and I'm not insinuating bad officiating, I mean, it's because that works both ways.
Right.
But it was like 8-1 or 7-1 or something like that. I forget his name, number 20, had a one-handed.
Kennedy.
Yeah. We come down, I think it was Nalen, or I forget, one of our kids hit a three.
Nalen, we hit a three to start the quarter. It was the very first play of the fourth quarter. Nalen hit a three. Coach Kite, actually, I hate to give him credit, made a nice call there during the break between the third and fourth quarter. We ran a set, and Nalen hit a three. Put us up 10. And the bad thing about it is, the play you're talking about, Bryce Dameron blocks a shot about 12 feet away from the basket.
Right.
And this was a game, by the way, we never got a loose ball, it seems like. Every time there was a loose ball, it seems like Megs beat us to it. They
or a rebound,
us
ridiculously. We'll get to that in a second.
That was gross. But it was but he blocks a shot, and we're finally starting to get momentum. And it feels like, you know, we're up 10, early fourth. He blocks a shot. Here we go.
Here comes the knockout
punch. And the ball caroms into the wrong guy's hands. And next thing you know, he about ripped the rim off.
Well, and to that point, their crowd was they had a great crowd there, no doubt about it. But from my vantage point, their crowd was really not. It seemed like both crowds. It didn't seem like it seemed like just a packed house.
Right.
It wasn't real noisy. And as soon as this kid throws down a one-handed dunk, it's like everybody from Meg's just got shocked.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the environment, and I'm like, okay, you need to call timeout. You need, you know, and finally, you did. Kind of like, okay, let's get this. And it wasn't as easy, you know. Then they kind of had to start fouling, and you guys got up to a 4-point lead. It was a 2-possession game. They come down, score of 3 right at the buzzer. We get out of there with a 1-point win. But from a standpoint of coach, that was a little too close for coach.
Oh yeah, well, that was the momentum changer. The play that Kennedy made the dunk, but they got in, and they hit a 3 right after that, and I think cut it to 5. And the next thing you know. You know, we're in a dogfight. But again, it was much like the first time we played them, where we were able, against that zone, to run clock a little bit. We were able to shorten the game a little bit, and we've got the guards to do that. And had we made our free throws maybe a little bit better there, because we had a couple guys that are good free throw shooters that
they would hit the front
maybe
end.
Maybe went one of two or miss a front end. Right. And now late, Derek Jones had a couple big ones, and Nevin Yates obviously had two really big ones right at the end there. So, it's one of those deals where you know, it's we did what we had to do to get the win. And again, I think that's crucial, because that's what you're going to have to do at tournament play. If you're going to win tournament games, there's going to be a situation where you have to spread people out and hold the ball for 30 seconds, 45 seconds,
right,
you know, and make free throws. So.
Two players, you mentioned Nevin, a sophomore, comes off the bench and knocks down two critical free throws late. I think he played well as Jake Speakman. He came out, busted the first
Jake
three.
Jake got us started, yeah.
And Jake has really not just developed physically, athletically as a player, but I think his decision-making between this year and last year on the JV level, he would get a little hot doggy. He would kind of make some bad decisions and go to the rack when he didn't have, you know, the right looks. But Jake is really coming along, and I think a lot of times you get opponents that are spending so much time concentrating on Nalen and Tristan and Derek, the Jake he's the fourth head of that four-headed guard monster,
right.
And he's getting better. For Vinton County, as I mentioned, Derek Jones, Jake Speakman with 10, Derek Jones with 12, Tristan Bartow with 10, Nalen Yates with 14, Bryce Dameron with 8, Eli Griffith with 4, and Nevin Yates, those two critical free throws late in the contest to put you guys in the driver's seat and pick up another win. With a final of 59-60, Vinton County wins that one, and that was a dandy. So,
yeah.
I guess, you know, it's you know, a win's a win, especially a road league win late in the season. So, with that being said, we're going to take a break. Coming back next, we'll talk to head football coach Jeff Downs as the Viking Roundball Podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston, McDonald's. Before each and every high school game, it's the place to be. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Alongside the head coach of the Vinton County Basketball Vikings, Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox. Episode 73, if you keep in score. Taping this little ditty on Monday, February the 6th. and glad to welcome in what I would consider to be a much more better looking coach than you, Coach Combs. And also a much do you notice the tie? Do you see?
I know.
It's not just a tie. It's a tie with American flags on it.
Him and NJ Kite, man. When Teachers of the year.
When you're less successful, you've got to look good. You know? Well, you got to dress the part.
You're being a suck up to the AD right out of the gate, aren't you? Coach Jeff Downs of the Football Vikings, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate having you.
Thank you for having me.
I'll tell you, this is you're not the new coach. You've got 1 year under your belt as you came back this past season to take the head spot for the Vikings, but going back a few years, you were the head football coach 2003, 2004, 2005. Mm-hmm. But kind of wanted to get a little off-season look at the Vikings. What's going on with the program? Obviously, the first year, you weren't hired until what, May?
May, I think late.
Which is kind of late.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a situation, obviously, where, you know, Coach Wellman left kind of last minute to take another job up Northern Ohio. And you know, we were looking for a coach, obviously, so we were pretty excited when Coach Downs came back, you know, threw his name in the hat, or threw his hat in a ring, so to speak, because you know, we weren't necessarily expecting it, and to be able to get an experienced coach like that, we were pretty happy about it.
What's changed for you as a coach between the first go around here at VC, which you went 6-4 in 03, 8-2 in 04, and 3-7 in 05. I know you left, you coached a year at Fed Hawk, and then I think just being a family guy, you wanted to take some time off because your sons were at an age where you were busy with different activities and things like that. How have you changed as a coach?
You know, I never really thought I would coach again. I enjoy teaching, and that's my passion, and it just seemed – it was good timing. And right. I guess I've changed. I'm a lot more trusting in my assistants. A lot of the same guys came back with me this time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think I hand off a lot more to, you know, back in – when I first coached at Vinton County, I called all the offensive plays, and now I rarely call a play. So I put a lot of that trust in Coach Wall and Coach H and some of the other guys. So I feel like I'm a better game manager now because there's less on my plate.
Do you just feel the sheer fact that you're older, you're a little bit more mature, not only to delegate stuff, but also you don't get as you don't get wound up about the little stuff as much, because football, you got big numbers of kids. I guess it's hard to handle that many kids and that many different aspects of defense, special teams, offense. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I think now I'm older, I'm a lot more secure and thick-skinned, and it's just one of those things. The game has changed so much, especially at the fast pace that we're using on offense. I think it would be almost impossible for me to do a good job calling the plays without relying on the other guys.
Well, and you mentioned that staff, Carl. I mean, and I know we've talked. This is the first time in a while last year that we had so many teachers on staff. That was kind of a big plus, too, I think. Guys, not only in our building, but in other buildings, you know, you've got an elementary teacher. You've got a couple junior high teachers. So you've got people in different buildings helping to sort of promote, I guess, football or recruit kids, and it's nice to have the staff members.
The staff is much more seasoned this time around. I mean, thinking back to it, when I first coached at Vinton County, I had Nolan and Brian, and then I had three college kids that were full-time on staff.
Huh.
So this staff is outstanding, and you know, there are three or four of these guys that could rightfully be head coaches as well.
Well,
so
and have been,
been, right. Yeah. I mean, so I think in Coach Wall and I only coached 1 year together, the last go round, but I always felt like we're on the same page. So it's been easy to hand over the play calling to him.
One thing we talked about earlier in the first segment before you got here, I think is just it's worth noting again. You know, when Coach Wellman left and you know, everyone applied, you applied, Coach Yates applied for the head spot, as did Coach Linder. And you know, and Nolan, after you were hired, he still comes and he's on your staff. You guys have a great relationship. And then you know, this year, John Linder, Coach Linder, who's done a wonderful job with the track program, he's going to be on your staff. I think that just speaks volumes, not only of you, but also them, and that a lot of school districts, when that kind of stuff happens, it's more or less, oh, no, I didn't get the job, so I'm not going to be on that staff. I think it says a lot about those guys as well as you being, comfortable in your own skin, so to speak, to have those guys help you out.
It is flattering. I would have coached for those guys, too. So we do have a friendship outside of, the football field. So, that they are quality human beings, too, good coaches and just good people. I think the other thing, going back to when I first started, we were so bad back then. We just could not afford to make mistakes. So I came from the football environment I came from. We were in a run-and-shoot offense, and we threw it all the time. Mm-hmm. But when I first coached here, I didn't feel like we were ready for that. Looking back, I wish I kind of had made more of a jump to the type of offense we have now. So now we've changed the mindset of we're going to make mistakes, but we're built to hopefully come back from those mistakes.
As far as the off season, how many nights a week are they don't have to come in? That's nothing's mandatory right now, is it?
The off season is not mandatory. We're trying to incent them to come in.
Right.
I have a point system, so we reward kids who play sports. The goal is to get 45 points to be exempt from 2-a-days during the summer.
Okay.
So every time the kids come in to work out with us, they get a point. Kids that play sports, so if Nalen Yates plays basketball, he gets 15 points credited. If Bailey Bartow plays baseball, he gets 15 for that. So really those guys just have to give us 15 off-season workouts
right,
in the
if
summer.
They're playing both winter and spring sports.
But we've really changed this year in that Coach Linder's taken over the strength program, and it's a different type of workout than we've ever done in the past. It's more CrossFit. It's heavy movement. It's not, bench press and squat and you stand around and talk with your buddies. It's 45 minutes of high energy. So we're more advanced in that category, I think, now. And the other thing is we've opened it up a couple mornings before school, so we catch some of the basketball and wrestling kids. And then we're going to have another workout where maybe the ninth period kids, we try to get them in. So it's smaller groups in the field house, but it's more hands-on training.
It seems like, across the board athletically, even at the higher levels, it's funny, when you first started coaching football here, some of the things you believed in, I think, then were a little bit outside of the box, and they've kind of, because you used to talk about, I don't want to hit in practice every day because guys are hurt. And I think in that time, people were like, not hitting in practice every day. Well, now you look. NFL teams, college teams. And you talked about the weight training. Really gone are the days where you're going to just go in there and bench press and flex in the mirror. And at every level now, it's speed. If you think about it, you play fast. Why not work out fast, and with that too?
And I think, too, the game's changed where it was you were so worried about how heavy everyone is. Now it's a faster game and a leaner game.
Yeah.
So you're better off to have 200-pound athletes playing offensive line than have someone that's 300 pounds that can't move.
Is there any, between positions, does Coach Linder handle every kid that plays every position the same, or do, say, a D lineman or offensive lineman, are they going to have a different type of workout than, say, a D-back?
We've talked about that. So far, it's been the same. Fact that Coach Leonard and I, when we get in there, he has his track athletes in there, too. So we've got girls and boys working out at the same time. And it does get a little bit crowded, but we're able to use the space. We go outside some. But I think we've talked about maybe we should break it up into a skill group and then the lineman group. I think it'll be similar, but we might, it's still focused on explosiveness. But so far, the younger kids have really taken to it. The eighth graders, the freshmen, they've jumped right in. Now, it took a little while to convince our guys that are going to be seniors that they were used to the old way. But they just here in the last month have really come around, and we've seen some big gains out of them as well.
You got quite a... You lost some players last year, but with Nalen coming back at quarterback, you got Nevin at running back, and he was banged up last. You've got some a lot of kids coming back next year. Just quickly, what's your outlook on the 2017 Vikings?
Boy, that's a loaded question. I think if we find if we can find some depth at the offensive and defensive lines, And we can find, you know, three solid linebackers that can stop the run. I think we can be real dangerous in 2017. Our problem last year was we just did not have the size or the strength to stop the other team from running, regardless who it was.
Yeah.
So if we can get to the point where we can start forcing some teams to punt, I think with our offense next year, you know, we can have a terrific year.
Well, and one other thing before we get you out of here, I don't know if Coach is going to the whole, and maybe this is a separate whole podcast, the Little Vikes program, Little League, the numbers, junior high. What is your, at that level, if and not just as a coach, as a parent, and, yeah. and you know, you're a football guy. Yeah. I don't know my butt from a hole in the ground about it. What do you like to see, and do you work with the Little Vikes staff? Do you have any engagement with them whatsoever?
A little bit. Jason Newsom does a good job down there. Mm-hmm. And so I did go and spoke. I spoke to the kids during the summer while they had their camp. I've been able to go to a couple games. You know, it's evolving. I think you know, the whole sport is, and I don't know where we're headed. But, you know, I think especially at the lower levels, it's going to be less contact, whether that means fewer games, whether that means flag football. You know, I think 5-10 years from now, it's going to be different than what we're doing right now. So we're trying to stay ahead of it, but then we're also trying to preserve the culture as well, because I know a lot of these kids and a lot of families, they're excited to put the helmets on and play at that age. So I didn't play football until I was in eighth grade, and I really didn't feel like I missed a beat. You know, so I think where we're headed 10 years from now, I think it's going to be flag football up to middle school, and at that point it's going to be a limited schedule, and as we're already seeing at high school level, it's now we have limits on how much contact we can have during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully
is that an edict that has come down from OHSAA?
Yes, there are time limits, and there are advisories, like schools that do two a days, you're not allowed to hit consecutively. You know, a lot of people say, why do you guys, why don't you have two a days? Well, you can't hit in two consecutive practices. So so the second practice would have to be
conditioning,
some type of conditioning or walkthrough.
Right.
So that would get redundant after a while. So I'd rather have a long practice where we do a little bit of both, and then we're not relying on parents to pick up and drop off kids twice in a day.
I commend you on your answer, because that's the second loaded question I gave you.
and he's normally when he asks certain coaches in this room loaded questions, they totally avoid them. So he's happy to get a straight answer.
Yeah, I like to see someone who's not only articulate, which my normal coach is not, but also well thought out.
And, I'll take that compliment.
Well, you should, because I tell you, I'm like going from the outhouse to the penthouse with this guy. I have to like brush up on my football skills and interview him during the season. Anyhow, Jeff, thanks for coming in and
joining.
Thank
you, Carl.
Appreciate it. Coach, anything else for you?
No, I mean, I'm happy to have Jeff in, and I think his second year, I think the second year's always got to be a little easier than the first, especially when you get hired late, especially with a new offense. So I'm sure things are going to go better. You know, hopefully, I know you want to, obviously every coach wants to win, but I think things will be a little bit easier on you this year, hopefully. Right. So,
well, thanks for coming in. We'll talk to you again. Maybe get you in here late or early in the basketball season, right after your season. We'll talk about your season.
That'd
so thanks
great.
A lot. Coming up next, we'll talk about some upcoming games for Coach Combs and the basketball Vikings, as they got to hit the road at River Valley tomorrow night, and then have Alex coming in, as well as a non-league Saturday tilt coming up February the 11th at Logan. That's all next as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Rumble podcast, presented by McDonald's and MacArthur Jackson, Oak Hill, MacArthur, and Wellston. I repeated that a little bit, didn't I?
So you're from the Department of the Redundancy Department.
I'm doing six things at the same time. Multitasking is not my forte. Alongside head coach Matt Combs, I'm Carl Knox. As rolling right along, when you do things with Coach Combs, you never have time to just dilly-dally. At least not between the months of November and March.
Boy, it stays tight, doesn't it?
Man, I am so sick of being around you during the season. I can't wait for golf season.
Well, I'm enjoying this season. I want it to last as long as I can, but believe me, when it's over, I want to get out on the links. I didn't get a lot of golf last year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, we're going to play a lot of golf. Your wife's going to hate you and all of your buddies because it's on like Donkey Kong.
But yeah.
Yeah, I know. I enjoy being around you more this season because I those seasons where we have like 4 and 5 losing streaks, that's when you get real surly. It's not good. Anyhow, good interview with Coach Jeff Downs.
He's doing a great job with him. Yeah, it was fun talking to him.
Yeah. A couple games real quickly before we get out of here. Actually, got 3 games coming up this week. Tuesday, February 7th, on the road down at River Valley. And then Friday, February the 10th, the rematch against the Spartans as they come calling over here. And then a weekend tilt Saturday, February the 11th, as we have a road trip up to Logan, which ought to be a dandy. That's a game that's, I don't want to say got trap game written all over it, because Logan, even though despite their record, with the season they, with the opponents, the toughness of schedule they have, that's going to be a toughie. But first, let's talk about River Valley. It's down at their place Tuesday night. River Valley coming into the game with a 7-12 overall record, 2-7 in the TVC. And you know, that's something that even though they're struggling this year, you know, Tuesday night road games, that right there is tough. But then, like you mentioned in the first segment, when you got a 16-1 record, you're winning the league and state ranked, everybody's going to get jacked up for you. So that's going to be something the kids are going to have to be ready for.
Well, yeah, and River Valley has some talent with the Dovenbarger kid, about 6'6", and putting up nice numbers this year, and a couple other guards. They shoot the three pretty well, and they're always dangerous. And the thing of it is, it's a tough place to play. We've talked about that. Yeah. And I mean, you're right. If we don't know by now that we're getting everybody's best shot, I don't know what to tell these guys. So
yeah. And then Friday night, like we mentioned, Alexander here, they're up to 10-9 overall and 7-3 in the TVC. They just they lost recently. Let's see, they got beat at Mariota over the weekend, and then they got beat at home by Meigs on the 27th, 61-50. I don't think it's going to take a lot to get your kids motivated for Friday against Alexander.
Well, you wouldn't think. I mean, we got beat over there, obviously, with our only loss of the year. Obviously, you know, anytime we play at home is going to be a huge crowd. I'm sure this crowd's going to be little extra juiced, and you know, so our guys are going to have to play well. I mean, you know, Alexander, you know, has done a great job this year within our league, you know, with a young team, and they execute well and they don't beat themselves typically. So you know, we obviously made a lot of mistakes over there and they played really well, so you know, we're gonna, right now we haven't even talked about them because we're talking about River Valley, but starting on Wednesday we'll take a good look at that film from last time and make our adjustments and try to go from there.
Yeah, that'll be a dandy. And then Logan, you know, I know it's a back-to-back nights. Is there anything you do differently as a coach when you have those Friday, Saturday? Obviously, you take them one game at a time, not to sound cliche, but you do. And then, you know, Tuesday night league game, Friday night league game. Will you have the kids come in Saturday for a shoot-around or kind of – I know you probably won't spend any or very little time talking about Logan this you know, Wednesday and Thursday in practice.
It'll never come up because, you know, the league's the most important thing right now. We have 3 league games left and we have a 1-game lead in the league, so that's all we're focused on right now in terms of this week especially. And then hopefully if we get through that, then Saturday, like you say, Saturday morning or whatever afternoon, we bring them in, talk about Logan. The only fortunate thing is we've played him once, so we shouldn't have to go into some in-depth scouting report, but the energy level is what you worry about the most. You know, it's our first 3-game week of the year. You know, Logan's very tough, especially at home. And but, you know, we've got a couple games here late. Logan and Miami Trace on the road. Yes. We'll talk about next week.
Right.
Those are tournament games. Those are preparation games. And we scheduled those at the end of the year on purpose to play those right before tournaments and sort of get competitively, you know, ready for that type of play. And so, yeah, we know how tough that's going to be. But we're really going to focus on our league this week, Tuesday, Friday. Those are the most important two.
Should be a good one. Sure, a lot of Viking Nation will be in attendance to watch the point that Coach Kite made last year, or last week, last episode. You know, you've been TVC Coach of the Year many times, but we've never seen you get the TVC Parent of the Year.
No, no.
Do you? I'm going to give you opportunity because that's how I'm fair. I do not take sides. But do you have anything? You did mention that you and your beautiful wife Amy Combs did listen to the podcast last week. Do you have anything before we get out of here to rebuke the whole story with the little tornado broken Combs?
No. I really have no justification other than I was sort of busy at the time. And now he tells me after the game, he's like, "Dad, I was just coming up to tell you I love you."
Now,
first of all, this kid,
that's classic
he's a shyster. You know what I mean? He's going to tell you he was not coming up. I guarantee he was coming up to ask me for money so you'll get pop or something. Okay. But so he tells me once he knows he's in trouble, "I was just going to tell you I love you." Yeah. Right.
I heard that.
Got our hands full with that one.
Yeah. Brevin's a dream, and then there's Brogan. Brogan's a little bit like his dad. Actually, according to Amy, he's a smarter, better liar than you are. He's done that. But that was I didn't see the whole thing, but then I watched it on the tape, and I don't as Carr puts it, I think that Amy outran Griffin Lutz up the court. Because once did you yell at her? How'd you get her attention?
No, I was just sort of like, yeah. And then believe it or not, which is kind of like embarrassing because I don't want him worried about it. Like Jake Speakman just sees me and's like, "Oh, I'll go over and tell her." And so he's like, "Hey, you gotta go get you." So Jake like filled her in on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a moment. But the rest of the night, he sat right down where most people put their legs, and he had, I'm assuming, Amy's iPhone, and he was. He didn't move.
Yeah.
So I would say that was, it's all fun now. But
she'll have to have him on a leash Friday, I'm sure.
Well, the problem is, I mean, Brevin's at an age where he's got all these buddies and his iPad, and he's just out and about. And, you know, Brogy came back into the coach's office one night. Oh, what was he told you? He said, "I've only got one friend so far tonight, Dad."
Yeah.
He looks at it. He's got to get a bunch of friends. Anyhow, Coach, appreciate you stopping by. Good luck this week. And hopefully the winning machine will keep rolling on. But we'll be back next week to talk about the final week of regular season as the Viking Roundball Podcast rolls on. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.